going to do howdy howdy. Are those, sorry, I was slow in joining Zoomy. It took a long time to figure out what it was doing. Not me, but what Zoom was doing. Let me help somebody out with their, oh, it's me muting, weird. Okay, cool. Anyway, so I mentioned last week, I mentioned this, I just said a minute ago, those will be listening live and those listening later. And as I'm going through this little journey on really, I guess, understanding time, as I'm trying to capture these gleanings, these understandings, some of it's from the Lord, some I was mentioning to a friend that the Lord is using some stuff. Can you tilt your camera down, Kaya Khan? There we go. But that's better. Hope that's better. Is that better? Yeah, please say yes. Because I don't know if it gets better than that. Okay, let's see if it's a yes. Yes. Apologize. So there, what I'm realizing, I guess, is the key thing, you know, the RE part of revelation and realizing and relevance, all those are REL words, is when the Father, who is, well, he's the source of revelation, he's the author and the finisher of your faith. Well, that's probably what that means. So in Hebrews 12, it's about running the race. But it says that, 12:2, that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's go there for a minute here. If he's the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega, or the beginning and the end of your faith, so your faith starts with him, okay? If your faith starts with him, are you staying with him, or are you running ahead of him? Now he's the, see, if you run ahead of him, then he can't finish your faith. And so if faith, the Bible says the just live by faith, that's in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and he is the one that is starting this work. But in Romans 10, it says faith comes by hearing. So if faith comes by hearing, and hearing with the word of God, and Father God is the beginning of your faith, that means that what Jesus said in the Gospels, I think Matthew and Luke, man does not live by every, man does live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God. So don't be like me to assume that meant that that's by scripture. No, just like in Matthew 16, when Jesus asked the guys, who do you say that I am? You notice there's no revelation when he asks about what the crowd says, but when he asks about you, so when you start engaging personally, so Jesus personally asked them a question, and they started digging on the inside to answer, and one of them went way inside, Peter, and Peter says, you're the Christ. And then Jesus said, okay, that answer did not come from flesh and blood. And so, but from my Father who's in heaven. And this is where something we can't take that for granted. Matter of fact, we need to take that and make it paramount. That needs to be our standard. Everything that we say should be from our Father. If we've cultivated that relationship where we're dependent upon him. Now, if you're just wanting to say whatever you want to willy-nilly, then that's a different relationship that you're allowed to have with the Father, but he's offering everything. The Bible says that if he's given his son, and he has, we got proof of that, that he will not withhold anything from us. So if you have an option to give your opinion or to give the Father's opinion from heaven, what's your choice? Now, obviously, if you know you're going to choose God's, but what's your habit? this is where we get caught up here. We usually, in most cases, respond out of our habits. Habits are choices we've made over and over and over again that becomes a habit, becomes a routine, right? So we need to get out of the routine and get into Him. Get out of the routine and get into the Spirit. That's why in Revelations, Jesus told John, get up here. We need to come out of ourselves and form a new habit. Now, habits do not change the way Father God looks at you, treats you, or loves you. He set His love on you because that was His decision. It wasn't based on your performance or on your habits or the things you do. It's based on He's really smart, and He said, that one I love. That one I love. All right, I love you all. Okay. Now, why He loves us, that's something that philosophers and religious people have gotten caught up into, that, and they've convinced themselves there is no good reason for God to love you, so therefore they believe God doesn't, and they got these theologies. Now, that's being stupid, and I've been stupid like that. In pursuit of I've asked the wrong question, and I've pursued trying to find out that question. Why does God love me? Good question, but that could lead you to a lot of head stuff and trying to figure out, what do I have to do to love Him, for Him to love me, when He's already said, I love you? Why does it matter? It matters if you think you could do something for Him to stop loving you. And so therefore, you think that you have something to do with God loving you. Let me set you free. Let me remove a burden from your life. You've got nothing to do with it. Now, I know you think you do, because we look at the models of what we've seen, you know, when we were kids. If we had a bowl on our little plate and we smacked it on the floor and it was a mess down there, usually we got a little spanking or a bottle, or we got some words. Now, if you're really cute, you didn't get those words in the beginning. Okay. But when you got older, you did something that was not appropriate, you got a response. You got a response based upon your actions. God's response to you is not based on your actions. God's love for you is based upon His actions and His decisions, and His decisions are already made. Has nothing to do with you. Johnny says, love is love. God is love. Thus, He loves, because that is the expression of who He made visible. I like that. Yeah. God is being Himself. Now, once you figure out who you are, you can relax and be you. But you is hidden in God. That's in Colossians chapter 2, chapter 3. The real you, which many of us don't know because we're so busy with stuff. Well, we're so busy following silly questions, right? And I know, well, there's no silly question. There are some silly questions if there's no fruit after that. Well, I don't need that. Okay. And so, again, going down the philosophical, it's not a bad question, but going down, I like that. The Son of a Lion is a lion. The Son of Love is love. Yeah. And the Son of God is a God, right? What was I saying? If you focus on you, you are limiting your perspective. If you're focusing on God, you're expanding your perspective after Him. What am I saying? We need to see ourselves as God sees ourselves, not as you see yourself. We see ourselves based upon our external observation. We also see ourselves how other people see us. Now, those two things, both the common denominator is people. You people, those people. And people are not good things to trust. There's only Let God be true and every man a liar. This is where that comes from, I believe. If you ask someone, if you're male, you know, how do I look today? I remember I was, it was a time I worked for like almost 2 years over in England. And when I worked there, I was kind of in a managerial position, so I kind of had to dress the part. So I was sporting some cool ties that I thought, and some jackets and suits, but it was like, you know, it was very more of a business, strong business deal. Plus, I was in England. They dress up all sharp for you because they're spies. You have to work there. Anyway, so I remember I'd go into work, and I'd pass this desk. There's two guys there, and I'd always say, hey, guys. And they would say, man, you're looking dapper, sharp, and those British words. I liked that. It was good. I felt good about myself and good about my shirt, tie, jacket selection, right? And again, like I said, I was there for about two years. And not quite a year into it, I was passing those guys, and we're doing a little exchange. And this another manager, not over those guys and not over me, she heard their comments to me, and she smiled. I thought she was smiling in agreement. But as we kept walking, because she was walking the same direction I was going, I said, oh, so you think, you know, she goes, well, you don't think they like what you're wearing, do you? And I was like, so I'm flashing over all the days of their passing through there and all the days of compliments. And I turned to her and I went, well, yeah, because they regularly, almost daily, give me a compliment. And she goes, oh, they don't mean that. I go, they said the words, you look good. Well, that doesn't mean that. And I was like, well, they didn't say I look bad. She said, yeah, that's just the British culture, the British dry sense of humor. Well, I was kind of upset for a day or two. Because I was basing my appearance based upon people's words and what they said. And so after that, I no longer took their opinion. I had to find out for myself what fell together, because those guys weren't faithful. Now your God is faithful, and he's trustworthy, and he speaks the truth. Okay. So what am I saying? So when you get out of bed, and you go to the mirror, and you're feeling tired. You look in the mirror, and your mirror says you look tired. Now, if you go by what your eyes are showing the mirror, and you declare, man, I look tired, I don't feel good, then you're now agreeing with external observations. Not bad, since God did give you those eyes, but he also gave you another set of eyes, the eyes of your heart. He also said we live by faith, not by sight. Now, if your habit is to make a judgment on yourself based upon what you see in the mirror, that's a habit I'm asking you to break and reestablish a new habit. And what the Father has said to you, we need to start living off of his words, because his words are life. They're food. They're our nourishment. They're our strength. They're our foundation. And again, he's the author of your faith. He's the finisher of your faith. So in the beginning of your day, beginning of your race, I recommend choosing his words of what you're doing. What do you say? But it's easier to go with the mirror. Well, you could also ask Alexa. I unplugged you. I didn't unplug that one. Yeah, it just pinged. You could ask Alexa how you are. Alexa will give you, it'll give you an opinion. But I'm asking, since the living God lives in you, let's make a new habit and ask the Father what he sees, because he's much better, and he sees clearer, deeper, and further. And also, if we ask him what he sees and we choose to agree with it, then we can walk in it. Let's say that again. If I choose to ask my Heavenly Father, who says, "Fear not, my little flock. This is my plan, my desire, my pleasure to give you the kingdom." He's looking out for us, right? So what if we start a daily habit of, instead of going to the mirror and looking external, let's look inside, because the kingdom of God is inside. Where the kingdom is, there's a king. We know the king's name. His name is Jehovah. His name is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Let's, in the beginning of our day, ask him how we look. Ask him how we feel. Ask him how the day is going to go. Because I'm telling you, he knows the answer to all those questions. And what happens when two or more agree on something? Well, you're one, I'm two, he's three. We have the whole Godhead. So let's do it right now. Father, instead of me looking at myself in my video pictures in the corner, and thinking that I need to zip this thing up or not, and being concerned with what's being captured on this hard drive or on Facebook Live, I should be more concerned about one, the questions I ask, who I ask them to, and what do I do with the response. So I need to get better at modeling, not just teaching and telling you guys what to do. I'm right now, Father, I'm not going by how Zoom is reflecting me. How do I look to you? How am I looking to those who are watching this live now and those who are watching it later? I should be more concerned about that than about if my glasses are dirty and people go, "Hey, I'm looking at your glasses, they're smudgy." So let's start the habit. In the privacy of your Facebook, in the privacy of your Zoom, so go on mute and you're on mute. Ask the Father how you feel. Ask the Father how you feel. Don't ask your body. Don't ask your mind. Don't ask your doctor. Don't ask a family member. Don't ask your pets. Oh, pets kind of use children. Ask the Father how you feel. Wait for an answer. And then do the more important thing. Agree with what he says. And let his words be life to you. Now, we should do this in everything, but really on the foundation, the beginning of our day, because how you feel sets the tone for your race or your day. If you feel sleepy, I've woken up a few times this week and even last week where I woke up, didn't say it out loud. This is the power of your words. I said it to myself. And I felt tired. I thought tired. And so I was looking for rest all day, most of the day. And I took a few naps. There's nothing wrong with naps. Einstein, he would nap every couple hours. Of course, he wouldn't sleep, but he would nap for a few hours. There's some power naps, which are powerful. Okay. And so, but I was seeking a nap, not seeking to be restored. I was like, I want to close my eyes. I want to curl up under a blanket and sleep because I feel tired. Okay. So I was acting on my feelings. I'm saying the believers, he word believers, act on his words, not your feelings. And I guarantee if you're looking back on your week, if you did not achieve progress in even your dreams and desires, is because you're probably acting on your feelings and not living according to his words. And this is a big deal of changing this habit. What are you living to or by? Well, it's our habit because, at school, we're like, we greet people. "Hey, how's it going? How are you doing?" And then we lie and go, "I'm doing great." Or some say the fabulous four-letter word, "I'm doing fine." I dare someone to go look at the dictionary what fine means. It's definitely lower than how the Father sees you. Okay. Especially in this decade, where the Hebrew year is 5780, it's a year of pay, and pay is a P-E-Y, the Hebrew word, which stands for mouth. So this is a season, more than any other season in your life, where you will, guaranteed, most emphatically, I don't think I've ever said emphatically before, most emphatically, that you will eat the fruit of your lips. The things you say will have a greater impact to you than they have to you and to your environment and to your atmosphere than any other time in your life. Now, it's always been true that the power of life and death is in the power of the tongue. And this year, we're all going to have amazing revelations on that scripture. That truth will be recognized by believers. I say believers, those in the family of God, the sons of God, and also by those in the world. Well, the thing about our words can change our thought structure, or we can allow our thought structure to come out of our mouth. The way we're supposed to function as citizens of the kingdom is out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. Okay. Many people speak out of the, looseness in their intellect, their mouth speaks, right? Now, my intellect is doing data programming and is trying to say things which seem best, but if I speak from my heart, where in the center of my being as a believer in the King of Kings dwells on the inside of me, and the King of Kings has the ability to tell me what's best to say. So one king to another, a King of Kings, tells this king out of the inner, from my innermost man, the abundance of my heart, what I should say, not only in the situation, but in this situation to change it or to enhance it, right? And that's something that we can come into a greater level to where we just don't be a thermometer speaker like, man, this teaching one is boring, and say that in your mouth. Well, then you're just making that, you're letting boring shape stuff, right? You're letting the words of your mouth shape your atmosphere. So we are word shapers, right? I heard this past weekend, we are talking spirits. I thought, that's pretty good, because I have spirit gatherings, you know. But we need to be talking spirits, but we need to talk about the right source, right? And this is where, like, you know, some people, and this is one of the benefits of journaling, we get introspective, and we turn in, and we see what the king is doing and what the king's talking about, and we write down in our journal what the king, we've overheard the king saying inside of us. But, yeah, you can 24/7 have audience in the king's chamber. What? You mean ascend? No, I mean go inside, because the king is having meetings inside here. There are he's giving charge to angels. He's giving charge to the church, the firstborn. Look at Hebrews 10. He's giving charge to anyone who is around him in his entourage, right? Seven spirits of God. So he's having conversations, giving direction, guidance, and interacting with other spiritual beings inside of you. Now, we know what mentoring's like, or we've heard the term shadowing, right? If you want to learn how someone does business, well, you go watch them do business. You have access 24/7, even more than that. Yeah, you have access more than 24/7. The ability to see how the King of Glory operates. See, hear, observe, and see the fruit of his direction. Now, you're stupid. I mean, that's the wrong word. If you're watching someone invest money and they never get a return on their investment and you follow after them, that's not wisdom. It's called stupid, right? But if you'll take the time, take your time, step out of time and into the kingdom and watch your Heavenly Father transact business, you will learn how to live. So you can watch the king live, rule and reign, because you're being trained up to also rule and reign, not in a president's image, not in an earthly king's image, but the image of the King of Kings. This is what the Godhead's desire was in Genesis. Let us make man in our image. That was a hint that, hey, my creation, whenever you see me, watch me and do what I do. It'll be good for you. Yes, you're allowed to copycat the King of Kings. He's an excellent ruler, amazing wisdom, and he does all things well. He has the right attitude on that throne. The first time I sat on my throne, I said out of my spiritual mouth to those in around me, excuse me, at last, I now can use my gifts of control and manipulation. Because I thought, I mean, how else does a king rule? Obviously, I had not been watching my king rule. I assumed from TV, from my intellect, I guess from my pride too, that all the kings I saw, I thought had a rule with an iron fist, and they must use control and manipulation. Okay, I think I've probably seen the Robin Hood too many times. My bad. Or the Pharaoh of Egypt. Anyway, so I'm sitting on my throne, and I say, now I can use control and manipulation. Right? This came from my uncultivated heart. And a voice in the throne room said, no, that's not right. I go, yes, I'm on my throne. And I didn't say this, but I meant this. This is the way I rule. And I don't know, but this is what I believed, and I said it. And then his voice is, no, kings rule by love. And I said, that can't work. Now, I said that because I did not know how love operated, and I did not know how powerful love is and was and ever will be, because I wasn't watching love operate, as in, you know, God is love. That's in John 4. I remember, and when the voice said that, I felt like maybe that voice was right. Maybe that voice knows something I don't know, which is true. This is where, you know, God gives grace to the humble, but he stands against the proud, right? And just for your edification there, when it says that God stands against the proud, it isn't just God giving you the hand or turning his back or going to be displeased with your prideful attitude, your prideful mannerism, your prideful habits. That stand against is a military term. It means to come against in full battle array. The first time I heard that, it was probably in the 80s, on that teaching, I was stunned, because I knew that the devil was against me, and that was a battle, because I know we wrestle more against flesh and blood, and I was going to battle with the devil. And I thought one day, if God helped me, I'd win. But when I heard that God stands against the proud, I was scared, because I acted from a position of pride a lot. And I knew I could not beat God. And I knew God was an awesome warrior and he was unbeatable. And I had a problem. either I'm going to get rid of this pride or I'm going to be crushed, right? So your emotions, Gwen says here, so your emotions can be transmuted. Let me read what she said here. Get some benefit out here. Fine, of high quality. How was that? Let me go back to what she said. Can your camera, we did that. Lion, you are the tree. Everything that comes out of you is both seed and fruit, because seed is in the fruit. Your emotions are a direct interface with time. Come on. So your emotions can be transmuted through your interface within time. Well, time's a lot of things, and I'm still learning that. But one thing time is, one, it's alive. Two, it's a process. Three, it's a process of flow. But if you submit your emotions to the thing called time, I wouldn't recommend that. And I wouldn't recommend you working with time that way. Time needs to be your servant, but you have to change your relationship with time. Many of us don't have we're not rightly aligned with time as an entity, as a person. You have a wrong understanding of time. You don't understand its attributes. You don't understand your right. Time needs to be your servant. You are over time and not under time. Yeah. But if you don't know that, then you'll walk where you will understand also that time is a resource that the King of Glory has given to, I'll say, to kings, right? If you don't have a proper heaven-inspired or heaven-revealed relationship with time, then you are underneath time. But one of the attributes is you start walking, growing up into your kingship, maturing into who you are, you'll learn, you'll come to a place where you can learn who you are in relationship to time. Where is the scripture for time being your servant? In Genesis, the Lord made us dominion over all created things, and time's a created thing. Time, one of the definitions is the relation between the stars, the moon, sun, moon, and stars, and earth. The rotation of the earth, the sun, gives us our 24-hour day, and we'll go to that thing in there. But I believe as a God-class being, because we're made in the image of God, everything that that's put before us, we're supposed to have dominion over. Now, are we walking in dominion over? Nope. Do you have dominion over that fly that's buzzing around your head? You're supposed to, right? So we need to learn, again, as we watch our king, one of the ways to learn who we are is to watch and serve the King of Glory. Another way is to, as often as you behold his presence, you are transfigured or change into glory. We go from glory into glory, and that's a good thing. So we can grow up. Also, if as often as you intertwine or engage or cultivate your relationship with the Father, you become like the ones you spend time with. Okay, I haven't validated this principle yet. This principle that I heard a couple of years ago that I really didn't like. It was your IQ is plus or minus 10 points based around the people that you spend time with. So if you spend time with people that are not as smart as you, then your IQ goes down. It's also, someone said in those someones, that your annual salary is also can be seen by, it's It's in the average of those you spend time with. So there's people saying that you should need to spend time with people that are, it's a good point about abusing your servant. And this is the thing where if I was God, I would give no one power because people abuse power. That's why I believe one of the reasons why Jesus and God and the Godhead had to come here, well, Jesus came here, lived and died and resurrected, because as you are, you'll be corrupted by the power. You'll be corrupted by your position in the cosmos. That's why he had to make you something brand new. As a new creature in Christ Jesus, you'll never abuse any of your resources. I believe time's a resource also. Also an entity, it's also a resource. But you, well, maybe you've not seen this. Go to the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. You can drive up, you know, to check in the room. It's a great place. You want to see servants who honor and minister at sewers high level, go to any Ritz-Carlton. You'll see servanthood at a level that's unparalleled. Anyway, go there and see some arrogant rich person, some abuse people who are doing their job. You can go to a nice restaurant too, see people talking down to people. That's a wrong understanding of who they are and who the people are around them. In Christ Jesus, you will see the world and people and entities as they should be seen. You'll see yourself, we talked about earlier, you'll see yourself as a valuable, worthy, intricate piece of creation. That didn't come out right. You'll see your value more if you see them. Emotions are connected to gateways within our bodies. Emotions are connected to a lot of stuff. Emotions are in your cells, they're in your DNA, they're in your mitochondria. There are a lot of places. They need to be under, I believe, your spirit's rule, because your spirit man has the ability, the capacity to rightly rule over your emotions. In my hurt self, since my emotions were damaged because I thought I knew how to handle my emotions, or I was open to others with my emotions, so I was hurt. Therefore, my hurt emotions didn't get healed for a long time. Therefore, I put them in a box, not a literal box, but far away so that I had to deal with them. So because I thought God didn't have emotions, God does. And I thought that these things were yelling and screaming, I wasn't taking care of them because I didn't know how. Your intellect, your mind, your wit, your mind and your will do not know how to take care of you. Who knows how to take care of you? Well, the Godhead does. Do you need some tips? Yeah. Someone says, yes, emotions are far more important than we give them credit for. Yeah. There's a reason God gave us many ways to interact with creation. Yeah. May give you a body to interact with the earth. Emotions under your natural emotions given to you by a divine creator were divinely placed. But if you let your emotions be tampered with by men, women, people, the system, then that's where trauma comes in. And if I can get you traumatized, not I, the devil, the world, devils will get you traumatized, then I can control you via your emotions, via the trauma, and make you something that you're not called to be. And that's how, you know, it started in Genesis. Well, you know, started someplace where the serpent got Eve to question stuff. And then when she followed the suggestion / direction of the serpent, instead of living from her inner man, who some people believe it was on her outer side, but living from her heart, living from her spirit, when she started living from her external senses, then things got wonky. And things, so if you have a choice between your external senses and your internal senses choose insight. Now, only choose insight if the King of Glory is dwelling in your temple. Okay. So your first choice is to invite the King of Glory into your house and let him have free reign in your house, right? And on that little comment there on Zoom about the gateways, so if you have a teaching, the ninefold gateways, you get spirit gates, you have soul gate, you have body gates. If you allow the King of Glory to enter in through those gates, then he will, things which are blocked, he'll unblock. Things which need to be directed or under his control, he'll take those. But you have to give him permission, right? And you have to yield or humble yourself to the Father, and he's able to take care of who you are so you can grow up from being a child to being a mature son of God. And that way you're not moved or ruled by your emotions. You're not moved or ruled by any created thing. You're not moved or ruled by external. But you're now moving and ruling and reigning because it's in him you move. It's in him you reign. So learning this new life, right? You can't do it in the old life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Behold, old things have passed. New things have come. You need to enter the new and walk in the newness of the day. That's what's in Genesis. But the newness of the day is in him, every minute can be brand new, which is changing that habit, right? The habit of again, starting when we said, if he is, and he is the author and the finisher of faith, let's focus on the beginning. He's the author. He is the start. Are you starting your day? Are you starting your hour? Are you starting your moments? Are you starting your days with him? Or are you being passive and just floating in with the system and just case off, case of Rosera, whatever will be, will be? That is not the way of the king, of a king or the kingdom. Yeah. Well, let's do that right now. So let's take a moment. There's one way. Whether you feel off path, here's an easy way to snap back into the right path, speaking in tongues. So let's bring this atmosphere in order. Shimbila kusto tare toma. Iranandro shora karida. I'm allowing a heavenly language to change this atmosphere, to change that recording and that recording. Shibrato sondoro pahpatigneka. Feel free to join with me with your own spiritual language. Vivere do su barare shota kritama. Mambre ro sombran besi darare ro sombran kama. Speaking tongues can bend time, realign time, align you properly with God's timing and his agenda. Shibreto sukin darira shobrataba. Nyendandari subrero sabari ro koshada. Speaking in tongues gives direction to everything in the unseen realm. If you want to get better in the seen realm, start speaking into the unseen. Let me say it again. If you want to be more effective, efficient in that which you see, that which affects you, start delving deeper and more intentionally in the unseen realm. One of the ways to do that is not only speaking words, which are unseen, but speaking in tongues gives it a double whammy there. But so, and even with that, you can speak in tongues and interpret your tongues, and then you can speak in English and in your tongue. Matter of fact, you should have multiple tongues. As you're led of the Spirit of God, he'll give you a tongue for the situation, a tongue for what you need, a tongue which you can flow in. You should be going back and forth in your devotion time. I would go in and out of your native tongue. If you're Brazilian, go into Brazil. What is it? Portuguese? I don't know. Portuguese. If you're from Portugal, you speak Portuguese. Yeah, that's your native tongue. And then go into your spirit language. And so that you're hitting, you're doing a double whammy on the natural. You're coming at it from head on, and then you're coming from on high when you speak in tongues. And anyone who comes from high, it's a military advantage to always to attack from the high point. When you're praying in tongues, you are shabare sondo yebaparo tosingandare rokopa. Pirashi name rosi baraka. Verereko bare roshopa. You're always effective. You're always on top. You're always victorious when you pray in tongues. Yes, I just interpreted my tongue. You should do that too. We should be bilingual at minimum. Earthly, heavenly. Earthly, heavenly. Earthly, heavenly, heaven, earthly, right? Bilingual. More than we are now. Some of us, you know, we do, you know, tongues for minutes and hours. But after you've done for whether it's a second or a minute or whatever, pause and hear the echo from heaven. And the echo will be translated into what you can now action, do some actions with your mind and your body of what you've been speaking, what you've been creating with your heavenly language. So you can create something with your heavenly language and then Shabafi Sotaka, after you create it, you can now use the thing you created. It's like those people in the wilderness. I've been watching Survivor a little bit. You know, when you make the fire, now I can use that fire. When you are creating with the words in your mouth, we're in that time, and if you're a believer and you're believing what you're saying, yeah, when you're speaking tongues, you got to believe too. But understand, you're not supposed to be understanding with here when you're speaking in tongues, but you're growing. There's lots of benefits. And if you need, I have a 31-day devotional speaking. So the benefits of speaking in tongues, a 31-day devotional. So we need to cultivate the unseen two ways, our native language and our heavenly language, right? And then I'd say a third way, there's multiple heavenly languages. Why is there multiple heavenly languages? Because there's multiple heavenlies. There's multiple realms in the heavens. Thus, multiple languages for you to be effective in those multiple realms. Just as there are multiple languages on Earth because there's lots of people on planet Earth who speak lots of languages. If you want to navigate the galaxies, and that was the galaxies. There's languages there too. If you want to navigate the heavenly realms, be open for the Holy Spirit to lead you into another tongue, okay? And be open for the Holy Spirit to interpret what you said so that you could engage your brain to be in agreement to what you're doing. A lot of times you've left your brain on the sideline going like, man, he's doing that or she's... You're doing that tongue thing again. I wish I could participate because Corinthians 14 says when you pray in tongues, your mind is unfruitful. And some have stopped there, but don't stop there. Press into, oh, I can pray that I can interpret. It's a good thing for you to pray for the interpretation. Pray, ask. If you ask, you'll receive. Just ask your Father who loves you a lot, hey, thank you for the gift of speaking in tongues. Thank you for the language of the Holy Spirit. Is it to my advantage to understand what I've been speaking? And the answer is yes, it's to your advantage. Jesus said in John 7, it's to your advantage. That I go, that the Holy Spirit may come. Now, we need to be walking in that advantage. We need to be walking in that place of, wow, right now the Holy Spirit, one third of the Trinity is hanging out here on this planet to help you. Okay. God said, hey, you're my kids, my family, I'm going to dwell in you. So you've got God on the inside, and you got the Holy Spirit on the outside. Now, I know the Trinity is the same, but you know, you got Jesus, who is like a brother who will never forsake you. Anyway, so he came to give a great example how to live on life. Matter of fact, Galatians 2:20 is the life I now live. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. So you can begin, and hopefully you've already begun this, and this is a reminder, be cultivating a vital union or living relationship with the King of Glory who's on the inside of you. You can be cultivating another relationship with the Holy Spirit who's upon you. He's clothing you, right? The Bible says we need to be clothed in righteousness, be clothed in Jesus. We need to be figuring out how to understand his life, death, and resurrection. How do you start? Since he's off in prison, you ask him, hey, how do we do this? How did you do it? Did you have a little container with protein bar cut up and you made your communion off of that? Well, find out how to live an effective life on this planet. Don't start with a book. Don't start with a conference. Start with the author and the finisher of your faith. That's who you start with, okay? That's the one that you go, some of you are afraid to have a active, living engagement with the King of Kings. Okay. So don't be afraid. He loves you. And, you know, you'll never know how much he loves you until you start asking him to show you. Now, he's already showed you, but what I mean is, like, show you personally that you're loved. Because I don't know you guys, but I got caught up into the, oh, let's love the world. We love everyone else. And I talked myself out of him loving me. I thought he just put up with me. I thought, you know, any second now, I would do something really wrong. He was going to smack me, right, and kick me out of this deal. But I'm telling you the truth. When you find out the King of Kings, the King of everything, our Creator loves you as an individual, not in the group. He loves me because I'm a part of the bride of Christ. He loves me because I'm part of the body. He has to, because we don't throw off the toe or the foot or the knee. No. He has the ability to love you. Let's just ponder on that thing. Right now, no matter how your day went or how your day is going to go, we need to have this as a truth in our foundation that I am loved, not by what I do, but because of you. There's nothing I can do to increase his love for me or decrease his love for me. You think on that. You're not powerful enough to stop him from loving you. So why don't you just accept it? What does that mean? That means think about being accepted. Think about someone being good to you. Someone who wants to be good to you. Someone wants to take care of you. What does that look like to you? Is that someone bringing you hot chocolate because you had the thought? Is it someone bringing you hot soup on a cold day? Is it someone who you can't see who sends you a text and they say, I love you, I'm thinking about you, or I'm praying for you? What is acceptance to you? Is it just the absence of rejection, right? It's the least that, but what else is it? Well, I'm telling you, some of you have really good imaginations and you can get there. Some of you don't. For those who don't, even for those who do have good imaginations, you need to say, Father, I've heard a rumor. One, that you talk. Two, that you will actually talk to me. So please talk. Now, and I pray for those who are on this call, Facebook Live, or on the Zoom, they'll take a moment and hear, maybe for the first time, that they are accepted in the Beloved. They are wanted. Whoa, I like to be wanted. And dare I say that you're needed by the King of Glory. Wow. Some of you have never done that. I rarely done that. I did it for a long season, but I just realized I need to do that some more to reflect upon his goodness, not just on the planet, goodness towards me. And that's where you need to really tap into the reality that He is your personal God, right? The King of Glory, which you can't see. So there's something about getting a greater understanding of that invisible realm. That's a pretty good one. You warm up in your hand. There's a scripture. And I know it's in my notes. Let's see if I can find it. Oh, no, I'll find it. When I was in this book or another book. The only thing when you start writing down stuff and you get all busy and you end up having multiple journals or notebooks. Not bad. It's better to have multiple notebooks than have no notebook. Okay. What did I do with that? I think it was for that. I think it was for them. Let's speak in spirit. Let's go back. Let's ask the Father. So, Father, I know what scripture I was looking for, but what scripture do you want me to go for? I'm going to practice or preach. You don't know something, or even more important, if you do know something, more important than ever to ask God. If you don't know something, then you should default ask the Father. But if you think you know something, you should ask the Father anyway. So, Father, what's the scripture for this segment? All right, give me more than one scripture. Okay. The scripture that came to mind is one that wasn't in my notes. But let's go there. Revelation. What version is this? This is my Hebrew, Greek, and Key Study Bible, New American Standard. I think it's Revelations chapter 4. So have a Bible, get your Bible, get your, let me see here. This is a scripture from earlier. This is for somebody. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. That's a pertinent scripture for an earlier conversation. There's a good scripture for our deal too. Paul says to Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. So if we apply that in the context of Hebrews 12, then their father is the author and the finisher of our faith, help us run this race. And I think I was reminded last week that we're supposed to be fighting. You know, we're in a battle. Sometimes we think of battle, we think of we're losers. Not that you're a loser, but some people who have not had lots of confrontations or lots of contendings, think, had the mindset that battle is wrong. If you're in a battle, it's a bad thing. But let me tell you, if you're never in a battle, you will never become an overcomer. Yeah, you have to be in a battle to become an overcomer. And the greater the thing you overcome, the greater the rewards. No fight, no rewards. Big battle, big rewards. I'll tell you, you will win if you contend. I like that. What does that mean? If you stay in the fight, you're guaranteed to win. Now, I do like to have those one-minute fights. When I wrestled, I would pin people in a minute to sub-minute. That was a great use of my training all week to come out on the mat and pin someone in under a minute. Didn't even break a sweat, right? I like those. When I got into the more competitive time, as into tournaments, I'm wrestling against better people. They didn't go down in 30 seconds or 28 seconds or a minute two or whatever. I had to go the distance. I had to run the whole race, which was three two-minute rounds. And because I pinned a lot of people earlier in that year or whatever, I wasn't really built for endurance. I was built to pin you really quick. And it was a battle to get through and to have enough points, not from pinning, but to have an endurance in that. So some of you have little endurance, but don't fret. The Father has a great training program. Now, who is this for? Okay, this training program looks like you getting in trouble, but instead of handing it your way, you get in trouble, you say, Father, this is that. That's King James. This is that. This is part of your training program. I'm going to be strong in you, and I'm going to do everything you say for me to do in this situation. And when you go through the situation, trusting him and not you, you become strong. Stronger. You're already strong in the Lord. But with every battle, you get stronger. Right, to where you're so victorious, you're making a name for yourself in heaven, earth, and hell. I don't want to have a name in hell. Well, when you start living like your Lord, living like your King, and realizing you're a King, your dread goes in all the realms, right? This is where the term dread champion comes out. Dread champions were, they were the champion of the King that people dreaded to fight, right? Because they had a reputation of kicking butt. Every overcomer has a reputation in heaven, earth, and under the earth, right? If you are a believer who lives by faith and not by sight and not by feelings, you become one of those. You know, and was it Hebrews 11 or 10? You'll find the answer. Where you become one, not that you're seeking to be in the hall of faith, it's just that's who you are. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. That's who you really are. Can I live this life with no confrontations? No, you cannot. Would you want to? You think you would, but you are built, well, you're built for love. And love never fails. So you're not a failure. You're a victor. You're not a victim. You're a victor. It sure looks like it. Well, if you take a snapshot of Jesus going and being crucified, in that snapshot, you go like, dude, you're getting crucified. It's one of the most horrible deaths. In that moment, you're thinking, you're a loser. But the story does not end with Jesus on the crucifix. The crucifix. It's for me and you. It's our beginning. because I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Some of you are not on that journey, on that process. You need to get on it, because that's the only way to live an overcoming life, where you're the head, not the tail, and to where you'll start enjoying the battle, not dreading it, not fearing it, but like, bring it on. I need to work out. And you're not cocky in your own flesh. You just know what the outcome is. You mean you only fight little demons? No, doesn't matter the size of the demon. It matters the size of your God. So have you magnified the Lord to where he is greater and bigger than any obstacle? And this is a problem, because a lot of times we don't talk about stuff to where, okay, you were having, I was watching a video just yesterday. This guy was on the YouTube, and I couldn't tell. I knew something was different about him, and I found out later on he had been battling stage 4 cancer. He'd been battling stage 4 cancer for a while, and he was kicking his butt, and that was his words and attitude. And I know he's a believer. Well, let me rephrase that. I know he uses the scripture. I believe he's a believer. The point is, there's a place where you come where you're not afraid of the battle. You're not afraid of the bully. You're not afraid of the demon. Not because you know you can kick its butt, because you know who you are and you know who's in you, right? That's the attitude of a king, who you are. That's the attitude of the real you, right? This is, again, this is not looking to... going around being a spiritual bully. This is just who you are, right? There are people in your atmosphere, in your sphere of influence, who need to see a king in the flesh. They need to see someone who's not afraid of earth, afraid of the news, afraid of whatever country your president or parliament or whatever, who's not afraid. How many people do you know that you look at, friend or foe or stranger, and not see fear in them, right? I think one of the reasons why I like all these superhero movies is because they're at least, they may be fake, they may have a little bit of fear, but they are taking the fight to the enemy. And you, the body of Christ, you need to stop. You need to get off your couch. I need to rest in the Lord, grow strong in him, and go out and kick some butt. You need to start taking down strong men. Some of you are called to just unleash heaven on the things that are over your neighborhood, over your cities, over your whatever. Now, you don't pick a fight when you're not ready to fight. Don't do that. Matter of fact, never go into a fight unless the Father sends you. Okay? Some of you thought, I'm going to do that. No, you'll get smacked and you'll get deal and we'll have to pray for you and you'll be like the Samaritan who's on the curb beaten to death. That's being presumptuous. You're not presumptuous. You are right now growing up in him. You're growing stronger every day. How are you doing that? Well, how we talk about it. He is the author and the finisher of faith. He's the start. He has a program for you to be like him. Matter of fact, he is committed to make you like Jesus. But will you commit to him? This is like I have a gym membership. They're like, they take my money all the time. But will I go to the gym and do what I need to do? You, believer, will you just hold hands with the king who's committed? He says, I am confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to finish it. But will you let him finish the work in you? Or will you run out of the gym too early? Will you get off the deal? Will you not do what he says? If you will listen, he will make you a strong man. He'll make you, here's the word, a friend of mine is a king indomitable. He'll make you so fearless, defeatless, and awesome. That's who Jesus is, and God's going to make you like Jesus. Now, for some of you, they're like, that's kind of presumptuous. Well, no, that's Bible, right? That is who our God is. Now, some of us get ahead of ourselves. We're like, well, you know, I see a situation in our government. I'm going to go into the heavens and pull down the stronghold. Okay, some of you are going a little too fast, right? You need to wait till he says that's your target. If the Father says that's your target, you're guaranteed going to hit it and take it out. If you do this, like some people do, they read a book, go to a conference, and they see people going after targets, they think they're able to. You're probably not able. Don't ever do anything out of copying some other person. Well, God's no respect your persons. What he does for them, he'll do for me. Yeah, key word there. What he does for them, he'll do for you in relationship, not in obligation to because you're copying. Well, I said the same scriptures. I wore the same dress, the same hat. I go to the same church, same conference. Therefore, it must work for me. Therefore, you're wrong. Therefore, you're setting yourself up to failure. The only thing that's guaranteed is when the Father tells you what to do. And that's only half of it. And you do it. Okay. God has told you guys lots of stuff. You're like, what? You have to believe it and do it. If you don't believe it and do it, it wasn't God that failed you. You failed yourself. Which is okay, because the answer is, who's the starter of your faith? When the Lord says, oh, you know, I've now lived in the United States. I've lived overseas twice. Yeah, lived in Sweden. I lived in the United Kingdom. Now I'm back in the States, living in a state called Oklahoma. And then in my relationship with the Lord, I didn't have to go, oh, Father, what's my purpose? Because I'm living for purpose. Because I know that people who don't have a purpose, it's boring. I hate boring. So when I got here, it wasn't a long intercession, a long belaboring of why I'm here. I know why I'm here. And for me to be here, only way I can be effective here is by his strategies, not by my experiences, my book knowledge, even the friends I associate with. And so the strategy for my victory in this territory is being unveiled little by little. Sometimes I get a big chunk. You know, I remember one time there was, you know, world system. No, we live in the world. And so this state has been known. This state and the city I'm in has been known for its tornadoes. So for those outside the country, tornado, bad winds that destroy. And so I first moved here and a tornado was coming and I got lots of advice from my earthly friends. Okay. And, they lived here before I lived here. Like I lived a long time. Anyway, but the point is I got input from my earthly friends, and that was good. But then I thought, I wonder what the Father says and wants me to do in the situation. Okay. And so his input was way different from what my friend said. And I was like, well, you know, 8 people have said I should get into a shelter. And for in my house, if you ever guys, you're allowed, you're all invited. In my house, I have a crawl space. So if I wanted to get in a shelter, I could get in under the foundation of my house with the other dark creatures and been there and been safe. Or I could do, and I was invited to a few other shelters that are better than me crawling into my house. But anyway, but I was like, well, Father, what do you want? Now, when you start engaging with the author of your faith. You have to believe that he is the beginner of your faith. You have to believe he's got a plan. You have to believe that he's going to somehow communicate with you. For decades, I didn't believe God spoke to people unless you were in big-time ministry, right? Or you were someone special. So I didn't see myself as special. Therefore, God didn't speak to unspecial people. And you know what? I never heard him. So slowly, I started believing what people told me about what God said about me. And I got to where I'm going to try believing that he speaks. So that day, I didn't hear anything. And so, but I kept my belief switch on, because I was going on, off. Well, I heard a good testimony, on. Well, someone else's testimony, off. I'm just going to leave it on. And what the heck, maybe he'll speak to me, right? Time goes by. So I started cultivating the habit, cultivating the belief, preparing my mind to receive something from heaven. Then someone told me, God doesn't speak to your mind, he speaks to your spirit. I thought, where's my spirit? So I spent way too long trying to understand where my spirit was. Is my spirit in my belly? Is it in my neck? Is it in my chest? Is it in my heart? Well, there's blood in my heart. Where's my spirit? Is my spirit covered with blood? So I spent, I can't tell how many hours trying to figure out where my spirit was. Instead of just believing I had a spirit and believing that God would speak to my spirit. So once I got done with being stupid in my head, I started believing that, okay, I have a spirit. God is a spirit, and God is going to speak to my spirit because he's on my side. He loves me. It took me a while to get myself conditioned, me conditioned to receive from God. Just like if you were baseball, I'm not a baseball player, but if I want to catch a baseball, I need to get a glove. I need to get a leather glove. And if you ever come to America or go someplace where those gloves are, you go buy a glove, it doesn't fit your hand. You have to break it in. You have to work with it. You have to change your habits. Many of you need to change your habits. You need to start becoming a believing believer who believes. In this category, believe that the God who loves you has something to tell you. So back to a few months ago when we were in the season of tornadoes. I've been working on believing God speaks. Probably, well, in the beginning, you got to work really hard. I mean, like, lots of declarations, lots. Now, I don't do as many declarations because I just choose to believe. And because history of him being God and me going, oh, you're God. Anyway, so in this time, lots of input from people, lots of input from TV. If you only live by TV input and people input, you're going to die really soon. That's not a prophetic word. That's just the truth. So anyway, tell people to shut up and definitely turn off the TV. Now, leave the TV on with no volume so you can see what's coming. Okay. Anyway, so I said, well, Father, what do I do? And he said, okay, I want you to go into the heavens over the storm and release your lightnings into the storm. Now, my brain has never seen me over the heavens. My brain has never seen lightning come out of me. My brain has never seen me in Oklahoma in the heavens or in the skies. Now, I could have thought about it, or I could have believed it and did it. And you got to stop thinking so much and just do what he says. If he says something, don't go, I mean, I can't, I spent decades going, what? Really? Me? Are you sure? What if someone finds out? I don't know about that. And I would worry myself or think myself out of obedience, out of believing. It's not about how this is going to work. Just skip to doing, right? And that's one of the benefits of a healthy, clean imagination, right? So at that moment, again, years getting myself ready to be, this even better, quickly obedient. I finally got to be obedient. I was a slow obedient. So you want me to say what? okay, I'm going to say it. Can I wait till tomorrow to say it? I mean, I'm just saying, I'm going to do it. So, I mean, there's something about obedience. There's something total about quick obedience. And I think the quicker you do it, it's you don't allow doubt and worry and your thoughts to come in, right? So, when I asked, I quickly see me, well, I assumed it's me. I didn't go into Zoom in the details because I wasn't wearing glasses. Anyway, I was hovering over the storm and releasing lightning and commanding the storm to do something. So I quickly did that. Didn't take a long time. I mean, like, we're talking about seconds. And then I go, okay, now what do I do? Well, I went to bed. I felt like it was the closest to when, you know, Jesus and, you know, got in the ship, went to bed, and the storm came, and he was sleeping. Because actually, I'm in my bed asleep. People are calling me, not immediately, they're calling me to wake me up because it's not safe. And I'm like, I wake up and I go, what? There's nothing, what? You know, well, the tornadoes had actually turned and not come through, but the threat of them, people were still worried about me. Now, at this point, unless the Lord tells you, you don't rebuke your friends for being, for responding to their voices that they listen to. You should praise God they have ears. Now, you may want to pray about the sources they give themselves to. Now, but don't do that unless they ask you. You get kind of, you know, I have people that I don't pray about their healing. I just look at them because they know I walk in divine health. And they're thinking I'm going to give them a lecture about, I'm going to judge them for being sick. Now, were there years where I was judging anyone? If you had a cough or a cold, man, don't come around if you had aches or bone. I was like, I thought if you had sickness, disease, then you had low faith. And I would tell you, you need the faith of God. And I go, look at me. I'm healthy. Be healthy. Now, that's not nice. Okay. And I've been not nice for lots of years. I'm getting better. But, you know, when you are right, you don't have to tell other people. Okay. So don't do that. It's just that no matter how you say it, it comes across in a wrong way. But if you live it, I think the Lord can, I know he uses it better than my words. And then you get to where, like my parents would go, how come this never happens to you? I used to try to give them some scripture, and they would knock the scripture down and go, nah, that's not true. And then they go, you're just lucky. And I try to go against lucky. Lucky is Lucifer, da, 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 da. That didn't work. So I decided, I'm just going to shut my mouth and let the Lord be my defense. Let the Lord be my not my prosecuting attorney, but my defense counsel, right? And let those words come for him. Anyway, and it's really fun to let when the Lord, I mean, there's one thing for you to have a conversation and outwit or out-talk someone. It's another thing when they walk away all smug in what they believe is right, and they come back to you a day or year or month later and go, hey, the Lord has been dealing with this. I had a dream. I had this. Da, da, da. I now know what is true. And that's the goal. It's not that I'm right or they're wrong. It's about, well, let's enter into the truth. And there are sometimes you have words which opens up a door for truth for people to walk in. Sometimes your lifestyle opens that door. And I believe it's very powerful when your lifestyle, when you've given yourself you've created a habit of trust. When you're not saying, I trust the Lord, but your silent confidence in the midst of the storm or the chaos or whatever speaks more volumes than you realize. Or well, you will realize it. So anyway, Yeah, so you know, there are things to do with the storms. Now, the next storm came. I thought the answer was to go in the heavens to come over the storm and do that. And to that's me copying a past experience. That is not kingdom living. It's kind of religious living, right? It feels okay because, well, but it's, you know, the example is when, or the best example I can think of right now is scene one, the people are thirsty, they're parched, they're dying of dehydration. And God, Moses goes to God and says, "Hey, your people are thirsty." And the Lord says, "Okay, strike the rock." And they strike a rock, and somehow this rock that was in the desert gives them water, and they're like, good. So time goes by, they're different place in the desert, they're complaining again, they're thirsty, and God says, doesn't say smack the rock this time, he says speak to the rock. See, so we have to understand the season we're in. We can't be doing what we've done before. Okay, we need to always go back to the author and the finisher of your faith. Father, I know how well I've raised the dead the last 20 people, but I'm not going to lean upon my performance. I'm not going to lean upon my past. There's another dead person right here. How do we do this one, right? Cultivate the habit of always asking first and always believing you'll receive an answer or a course of action, right? Now, I've only been confronted with two dead people. Well, one really, my mom. And in that situation, I asked my friends, well, I did what I thought I should do. Then I called a friend and we did some more things. But what I didn't do in the midst of death, I didn't pause and ask life what to do. Okay. Now, that's what you're supposed to do. You know, when you're confronted with death, don't ask death, don't ask the past, ask life what to do when confronting death. Any form, whether that be a cough or a cold, ask life what's my strategy, right? And then do whatever your Father in heaven says to do. And stick to, even though people try to talk you out and share with you their remedies, their experiences, and it's fun when their experience matches what God has told you, right? That's cool. But lean not upon people's opinion, people's good experiences or bad experiences, your good experience or bad experience. Go to your Father, who has a fresh word for your now situation, right? But in the situation of death, you know, sometimes, a lot of times, we wait until death has created a stronghold in that person's body, and that stronghold has convinced that person that it's time to go. And if you got them agreeing with death, it's not impossible. It's really hard, right, to get them out of that stronghold. You know, think of a stronghold as a, you know, cave or a house with a locked door. When they walk inside behind that gate, behind that closed door, and shut the windows, and the name over the house is called Death House, you can yell, use your words, but it's very hard to get them to come outside. They may open the window and go, "Hey, I'm on my deathbed. Yes, I know. I want you to live." "Well, I'm kind of comfortable." Now, they keep the window open to some hope, right? But it's very depressing to myself. I mean, I had this situation where it wasn't the person who went into death house. People put them in there and then agreed that that was the best course of action. And it was me against three people and two doctors. I was pro-life. They were into pro-death. And I was mad. And I almost came against the three people. I did come against the doctors. I guess that's over. So in the midst of, and we kind of talked about emotions earlier, in the midst of my father going into that house of death and people around me agreeing with that, my emotions kicked in and I was now distracted. I was distracted by my feelings against the people that should have been in agreement with me who weren't. And that was just kind of rocked me, right? To where I almost, instead of fighting death, I almost fought them, which is wrong. You're not supposed to wrestle against flesh and blood. You're supposed to fight against the enemy. So I guess we're going to save that. Okay. And save. And share. Okay. I think it's a point. So we dropped off our Facebook, people. Yeah. Enemy is death, but sometimes we let the enemy be bigger than the victor. So like right now, you know, in college, I thought I should avoid death, which is good. My issue was I was afraid of death, right? And don't be respecting death. Don't be doing that. That's stupid and wrong. But right now, for some of you, the Father wants to train you to be stronger than death. There's people around you that are not exhibiting any symptoms. Some of them are being kept alive right now because the Spirit of life on you, and they have no symptoms of any sickness or disease. Because the Spirit of life, you're a life-giving spirit, and the life on you is flowing into them and preserving them. Yeah. You're a preserver. You're just not salt in the earth. You're that. But the life of God in you is so strong, it's just not keeping your body in divine health. It's reaching out to those around you. And I believe, you know, if you will, ask the Father if he wants to extend your life reach. So your life influence is probably, you know, 4, 8, 12 feet household, keeping those and your friends secure. But are you supposed to be the lifeguard for your block, for your city? Are you supposed to be the lifeguard, the one that's guarding over that city from any terrorist death things coming their way? Or is the life of God building up not a strong tower, but a sphere, a invisible sphere over your city that death, cancers, all forms of sickness and death cannot penetrate the boundaries of your city? There's a scripture in Acts that says God has given you purpose and your boundaries. Some of you are called to establish life territories that people think they're coming to your territory because of your hospital, but they're coming to your territory because life is saying, come here. And there's a scripture in the Bible where Jesus meets a man who has a sickness and takes him out of the city. Okay? He takes him out of those boundaries so that Jesus could loose the strategy in heaven so that the strategy would be effective. Okay? Two-pronged thing. You guys are thinking, well, isn't the life of God enough on Jesus to heal the guy? Obviously not. That's why we don't think we listen, get the strategy, and do whatever If it means spit in the mud, we spit in the mud. We spit in the sand and make mud, whatever. It's a lot of spit required to make mud like that. Anyway, all I'm saying is we're not, so we've cultivated a life with our Father that we're not moved by circumstances. We've intertwined ourselves so much with the Father that we're at such great peace when people are screaming, whether it be in the hospital or whatever, that we're at peace. We're at such peace, we can hear from the Prince of Peace. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. What does it mean? In the midst of some, it's the His peace is smarter and clearer and louder than what your brain could think of. And we've got to be people. We need to be a people of God. When He's invited us to sit at His feet, we need to sit at His feet. When He's invited us to teach us and us be learned of Him, we need to take Him up on that. That's what we should do. We should do that. Now, there's been people of the book, people of the faith. We need the people of His mouth. This is the year of the mouth. We need to press our ears up to His mouth. This is the decade that every, man shall not live by bread alone or whatever, but by every word which proceeds from His mouth, or P-E-Y, His mouth. This is a decade of pay, or the mouth. And so not only is it important what comes out of our mouth, but it's important what we do, what comes out of His mouth. We need to position ourselves to hear from His mouth, right? And then speak what He says. So you should only speak what you hear. I'm not hearing. Well, we need to work on your ears, because you have ears to hear. You've been designed to receive. Your whole makeup, every new creation in Christ Jesus is designed to receive life from His mouth. Not every religious person, not every person born of man, or you're not born of man, born of woman, but everyone born from above, John chapter 3, verse 3, if you're born from above, manufactured in heaven, then you've been designed to function as an integral unit of the Spirit of God. You've been designed to function connected, not disconnected. If you're disconnected and not a new creation, then that's normal. But if you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, you hear His voice, and you have the ability to do what He says to do. Because He is your personal author of faith. It's no accident. You're here on this planet for a purpose. And if you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, old plans have passed away. Old failures have passed away. New victories have come and are coming. You have a purpose for yourself, a purpose for your King, and a purpose for those around you. Your motivation is love. Okay? Where does that come from? Him, because God is love. He remakes you in His image. If you're in the image of a religious thing that said a prayer, you said a prayer, you felt better, you got some teaching, then you're just in the image of the man that you prayed with or the conference you attended. But if you had an encounter with the living God and He made you new, that you walked in His, Jesus' crucifixion, and you both died, and He raised you from the dead, you're something brand new. And you, brand new one, has ears to hear. You, brand new one, has strength and the power of God and the motivation of God, love, to do whatever He tells you to do. How can this be? It's supernatural, right? I've never heard of this, neither have I. So this is pretty well. We're both hearing at the same time, right? And so it's not, and again, none of it is you. It's all him. He makes you new, right? Only the new you can do you. What is that? What is that? Someone say it again. Only the new you can do you. The old you, unrenewed mind, not agreeing with what he says about you, that'll keep you old. All right. That's why it says by the Romans, Romans 12:1-2. By the renewing of your mind, you're transfigured. I thought it was just, I got a better brain and got some more scriptures in there. It says you are transfigured. So the thing you see in the mirror is becoming more like what Father sees when he sees you. So your earth suit is taking on your celestial suit. Do a Google search, not a Google, do a search in your New Testament Bible. It talks about your celestial body, right? It talks about more who you are. We've got to be more in agreement of what God says we are and not what we think we are. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. Go, God. He's your creator. And see, the creator, that which happened between your mother and father when the sperm and the seed came together, that was your mom and dad making you. Now, there was an infusion of, some say it was light or the spark of divinity. That was a chemistry experiment. Oh, that's just, I'm going to hate mail for that one. Let me take that back. That was not God creating you. That was God interacting with your mother and father. Now, there's this divinity there. But when you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, that is God alone. Only he can do that. He's not giving you, he's making you brand new. New is kainos, never before seen on the planet. Not improved you, new you. You never existed before. That's impossible in the natural. So get out of the natural, get into your Father who is supernatural, beyond natural, and be you. You can only be the real you through him, which is supernatural. How can I, born of my mom and dad from the city that I'm in my grandmother's house from 19 early. Grandma bought this house, grandma and my grandpa bought this house for like $600 cash. I got to get that receipt. That's ridiculous, but awesome. It's almost as awesome as I can be born again, not of flesh and blood, but of spirit and truth. I can't do it, but if I say, Father, have your way, he does a new thing. If I believe what he does, I can be everything he says. Some people twist that and go, okay, I've got to work on being what he says. No, you need to believe what he says and let him work it out through you. Who's doing the work? It's not you. Now, some people just felt really bad about that because they want to work. They want to work to show God that he didn't waste Jesus on the cross. Okay? We've been suckered into that religious thinking. You have zero work. You need to rest in the truth. You need to rest in the belief. And how long does it take you to believe the truth? Now, for me, it's taken me decades. Why? Because I'm stupid and ignorant and thinking more about me. But when I start thinking about him and what he says, then I started trying to understand it, and that wasn't working. But if I would just believe and let him somehow help me believe, oh, he's the author of my faith. So I can choose to, on this, I don't have scripture, but I can choose to want to believe, but I think he gives me the ability to believe, right? I can choose, but he gives me the ability to become. He makes me new. So there's a partnership there. There's an agreement there. And I'm telling you, you will never, ever, ever walk in your newness at seeing God from afar. What does that mean? Hey, I'm reading my Bible today. I'm not expecting anything. I'm not going to talk out loud because that's stupid. Because no one else is changing, so I'm going to read my Bible this way. No. Don't do that. I did that for a long time. I was expecting my life to change like people around me. And I was around people that weren't changing, so therefore I thought, well, this is stupid. I was around people who didn't have answered prayer. Now, my grandmother's prayers were always answered, so I stopped praying. I stopped looking at the people around me because their prayers weren't answered. My grandmother's prayers, I said, okay, only grandmas can pray. Athletes can't. Well, that guy can. Well, whatever. I'm not going to do it. I'm only going to do things that work. I'll tell you, here's a little trick. If you don't believe it's going to work, it won't work. So now that I'm learning that God is faithful, he's getting all these promises and stuff, that I will trust him and believe in his promises, ones that are spoken to me, ones he's revealed in his scripture, I'll put my faith, my trust, my expectation on his living word. Again, things which he's either spoken to me directly or things which I've read in the Bible that he's illuminated, which is like him speaking it off the pages to me or and to you. It's got to be living. You have to choose the living and not the dead. Wow, that works. And only the living can give you the capacity, the capability, the enablement to do what the promise says to do. But some of the promises you have to believe and receive. Other promises, the work is believing. Because it's like, that's impossible. So you have to believe greater than your unbelief. Does that make sense? Because like you... I mean, salvation through Jesus coming to the planet through a virgin. Unbelievable. But if you choose to believe, you get the benefits of that. If you choose not to believe, you can't benefit from Jesus coming through that Immaculate Conception thingy. Well, okay, I believe that one. But that thing being raised from the dead, then you will not experience resurrection power in your life. If you don't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit, you cannot tap into, have access to that same power because you don't believe it. Well, I believe it. Okay. Are you believing and expecting and looking at his promises? Or are you wandering, looking at your circumstances and going, I don't think it works for me? Get out of that rut. Right? It's not a mind game. It's really you have to go from doubt to belief, from unbelieving to believing. You get to say like that guy, Jesus said, when the guy said, Jesus, help my unbelief. That's relationship talk. It wasn't, look, God, help me figure this out. I've done that. I never figured it out. When I go, okay, I don't got this. Can I have some of your faith? Yes, because he is the author. But here's the real part: the finisher of your faith. What does it mean? I mean, some of you are craftsmen, some of you are artistic, and you know what finishing means. It means like taking something. Well, here's my. What is this? This is my food. Hearing voices outside. So if this was clay and I had a design in mind, the first phase of this is me forming and fashioning. The last phase, if this was turned into a beautiful figurine, I'd be finishing it, right? If this was clay and I put it in a kiln, the last phase is putting it into the kiln, well, painting it, glazing it, you know, and putting the kiln, and that's the finishing process. So what happens is if Jesus starts your faith and then finishes your faith where, okay, minute one, you're not overcoming death. But minute 17, he's been working you, bringing back to you other scriptures, other prophetic words, and he's making you stronger. He's finishing out so that now you can overcome the situation. He finished the work which he started in you. He's the starter and the finisher of your faith. This isn't your faith. He started it. He finished it. You get to enjoy it. You get to walk on it. It's like going to a restaurant and ordering a great meal. Did you cook it? Nope. You received it and enjoyed it. And you want to give thanks to the chef. There is one great chef who's created, has the ability to create great faith in you. Will you let him create mountain-moving, giant-killing, city-restoring, nation-awakening faith in you? Will you enjoy the work of your creator? Or will you go, look at the faith of other people? Look what God did in them. Look what God did in them. Why don't you look at what God's going to do in you? All right. Do not despise a day of small beginnings. While I have yet to raise the dead, I have yet to either, but I will. Well, that guy's raised 57 people. Good for him. God has worked on his faith. He's let him do that. I need to let the Lord continue to grow my faith, to make in me, what did David say? Oh, Lord, create in me a clean heart. He did that and say, God, give me the tools so that I can do surgery on my heart and make my heart like you want it to be. No! Lord, create in me a clean heart. Lord, create in me great faith. Lord, help my unbelief. Help it so much that dispel unbelief from me, driving your love, because perfect love casts out all fear, and fear is the foundation of disbelief. Let your perfect love come. Well, how's that come? Out of relationship. By believing he loves me and sharing my affections with him and him sharing affection with me, I'm like, I'm not doubting his love and his situation. And letting him grow faith in me. Walking in that environment of, wow, I don't understand this. I can't see through it. I have people right now who say I live in the wrong neighborhood. Well, you should get out of there. Sell that house because bad stuff happens there. The Lord put me here to be a light. I'm on the corner. I have a cool light outside. I'm supposed to be here to be a light to this city block. My grandma was a light to the city block. Yeah. I get to walk in her steps. Maybe I'll get the Lord to pray like her. You know, it was just a few days ago that I really stepped into, I think, some of the stuff that, some of the prayers that my grandma partook, did here, right? I don't know for a fact, but I tell you, it was neat praying in the morning hours. My office is her bedroom, was her bedroom office now. But this living room, I'm believing for this to be an environment for much. This meeting was birthed out of, I was looking out of the office and I just could see creative things coming out of this living room. And I thought, oh, a Bible study. Lord says, not a Bible study, but spirit gatherings. More creative. I mean, I love Bible studies. But more creative and more far impacting. And I'm like, yeah, you know. And I thought, you know, in my mind, I grew up where, you know, they pack a room and we're on our couches and pillows. And I says, don't look for that. Whenever you speak, there are multitudes in the unseen realm. Keep speaking to them. And so that's a test of my faith, right? Do I believe what I see? Right now, there's no one in this room that I can see with my natural eyes. Or do I believe what he says, right? So every time I believe, I know I'm getting stronger because I'm trusting him, right? I'm trusting my creator, who's not only created me, the new me, he's also creating the faith in me. So I'm trusting him to be faithful to do what only he can do. So if he says I'm speaking to invisible people, I'm speaking to invisible people. If he says I'm leaving my body and speaking to in every room, car, wherever this voice is going, then I'm there. Why is that possible? Because he's there. Should I believe that? As he is, so am I. There's even a scripture for that. This isn't just wild words. You got really non-natural words in your New Testament and Old Testament that you can believe or choose to disbelieve. I'm hoping you'll choose to believe and get on your journey with your Father, who's not only living in heaven, but living in you. And I want to see where y'all go, right? That's the joy, man. When you see someone free, it's like the picture that came to mind. When you see a horse in a field running free, you said, that's freedom. I want to see y'all running in the power and the spirit of God, that full gait, unstoppable. There's no gates, no fences. You're just going for it, right? And that image of liberty, that image of poetry or love in motion, that's who you are. You're offspring, your lights changing, not only penetrating darkness, you're pushing it back off the planet, out of your city, out of your house, out. And that's you moving. In him, you live and move, and I think everyone has that image. You've seen Black Beauty or any little horse show, little glimpse of the horse commercial, that horse running free in the field. When you realize your Father is light, he's king, and you're a son of light, which means you're light, and you're a son of God, which means you're a God, and you're a son of God walking and ruling, growing up into your newness. Oh my gosh, there are no limitations. There is none. I mean, it's just, you are wild and free, and not in the bad use of the wild, and in the great use of the word free. There are no limits, no structures, nothing created, nothing can separate you from the love of God. That which he is, you are. There's no separation. I dare you to believe that one. What he is, I am. And that's, so for you people who do tattoos, I will allow you to get that tattoo. As he is, so am I. All that he is, you are. Because he's given everything to you. Now we're working on receiving it. It's like a great meal. You got to digest it. It tastes good, you know, fork and knife one, and you continue with that, and you're savoring it. That's how we are with the power, the anointing, the love, his goodness. We're receiving, about time. You found out you're worthy to receive. Okay, receive. Now, believe it. I'm a son of God. I'm supposed to be a king, ruling and reigning with the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, the wisdom with the knowledge, the spirit of knowledge, with the mind of God, that's me? Yes. Just say yes to his promises. Say yes to his say yes to his dreams. And that's a good thing. Do we have protocol as children with our father or dads? Yeah. Dad? I want to, that's the protocol. Simple step, ask, all right? We made it complicated. Okay, I need to get baptized in the Jordan. So I gotta save up $3,000, pick the right tour, and make sure the water's not too cold, and they've gotta say the right words over me. Oh, I need some special anointing oil. We add these formulas. Now, there are formulas, but the only forms that work is when the Father says, do this, this, and this. Those formulas work. Things we think up and we want to work, don't. Yeah. So, I'm kind of excited. Okay. Facebook people, they get dropped off. Zoom people, thank you for enduring. In closing out, there were some things in the text, but you all have access to going off your mic if you want to say something clearer or faster than typing. And we're going to, let's go. Let me scroll up to make sure to kind of address stuff. And thank you guys for asking and answering your own questions. Those were cool. And going back and forth. So it's not about a one-man show. It's about the King of Glory that's in all of us, right? So I tilted the phone. Shirt looks good. Definition of fine, of high quality, a satisfactory manner. Yeah, we're supposed to live way above satisfactory. Your emotions. Yeah, and hopefully I didn't dismiss the emotion stuff, because emotions are very, I know I've not handled my emotions very well. I've got them hurt pretty good. And I've lived damaged by my emotions for a couple of decades. The first book that got, I say divine, because I would never have bought this book. It was 1980 or 81. That's a long time ago. I remember the title and the author. It was Healing Damaged Emotions by David Seaman. My pride would have never had me buy that book. I went home for a weekend from Oklahoma to Kansas. I was living in Kansas. Well, I was going to school in Oklahoma. Drove home from college to Kansas. One weekend, just there for turnaround, went to my Bible study group, and that Friday, they received the book, Here You Go, Wally, for free. I'm thinking, that's not a title that I'd see in my library. But that was beginning of me starting to agree with becoming new, right? And we have to agree. God is not going to change you without his permission. Without your permission. I like that and I don't like it. I like it that he values me and respects me enough. That's great. But I've made a lot of stupid things. I can't tell you how many years I spent going, God, I give you my will. Just do what you want. Make me a puppet. And he's not into that. I wish he was. But when it comes down. Yeah. It comes down to relationship. I'm really into most things relationship. You know, Amos 3:3, how can two walk together unless they're agreed? We get to walk, and sometimes walk in the Lord, you're not in agreement because you're not mature, and some of you that still don't like God in areas. Some of you have questions that question you have is an offense or a wall between you and the Father. You're in relationship, but you have a question that's harden your heart, and you need to allow the Lord to touch your heart anyway, not with understanding yet, because you're not ready to hear the truth. Because the hardness gives you a filter, and you're doing this, because whatever hurt has happened to you, that is not but a detriment to the God's goodness or his love. Now we wonder, how could that happen to me or to them if God is so good? And that little, keeps the truth to come into our spirit so we'd understand. So some of us have to grow up before we can hear those kind of truths. But it starts with us engaging with the author. But are there areas or things in your life, because of something's happened to you or something happened to those people, that you have made that area off limits to God? Okay. So, but if you stay in the relationship, you'll find reasons why not to be off limits. Look at the laws God put in place. Things like not manipulating people or seed time and harvest. God works within the parameters of love. And the laws he placed in creation, there are no limits, but there are protocols on how to do things. And he shares his protocols. Yes, absolutely. But if he and we are Sunni or one, we will automatically be that too. That's right. If you believe and let him do his work. All right, y'all. Thank y'all so much. I will post this one this training because it blew up on Facebook, as it blew up bad. I'll post this one by this weekend and maybe tonight. All right. Love everyone. And see you around. Thank you. I'm into the meeting. It didn't work.